Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys.
Hello everyone.
Today we're here with a very special guest. We have Harry Green with us from the Bridgewater Triangle Paranormal Investigators. Harry, do you want to give us an introduction? Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure. I am actually a paranormal investigator. I've been officially investigating since 2020. And we go all over in the Bridgewater Triangle region, as well as outside the region. We've been as far as Penhurst Asylum in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And what really got me into investigating was an experience I had back in 1996.
I'm so excited to hear the story again from you.
So it was 1996. I was 14 years old, and me and a childhood friend of mine named Troy, he lived up the street. We lived in Brockton, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. which is, you know, in the northern corner of the Bridgewater Triangle. And we used to ride our bikes around the old neighborhood on the west side. And one particular area where we used to love to ride our bikes was behind Brockton High School. There used to be a public pool, and mm-hmm. behind there was old quad trails, which are now filled in, everything's overgrown, but back then there was huge sand pits and quad trails, so we used to ride our bikes up and down the old trails. And one day we got off our bikes and we were talking, and I noticed that Troy looks up in the sky, and I'll keep it PG, he goes, "Oh shoot." And he runs off and he hides into the tall grass. And I'm thinking, why is he running away? What is it that he sees? As I started to turn around, the wind was picking up like crazy. The tree branches, the brush were blowing like crazy. It sounded like a car driving on all four flat tires. And as I turned completely around, I noticed this big, huge, massive bird flying from Belmont Street towards mm-hmm. me. It was about three stories up. It looked like the cryptid condor from the Godzilla movie. Mm-hmm. I think it was Godzilla, in the 1960s.
Yep.
It looked like that bird. I mean, it was wider than a raised ranch house, and it looked very old. It had a lot of bald spots, missing fur, patches.
That's interesting.
And it looked like brown, worn-out suede. And as this bird was flying towards me, I thought, oh, God, I hope he doesn't think that I'm a worm and scoop me up and carry me on his way, because he was big enough to do so.
Right.
And as he was flying towards me, I noticed that he had a lot of spots of fur that were knotted up, and he had, like, twigs caught in his fur, so you could tell this bird was crashing through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And he flew over me, going south towards the Hockomock Swamp.
Of course.
And this was before I ever even heard of the Hockomock Swamp or the mm-hmm. Bridgewater Triangle. So as he flew over me, picture one of those cattails that you find in the marsh that you open up, all the stuffing that goes everywhere, his fur went everywhere.
Oh my God.
My friend Troy, he came out of hiding, and he was just like, "Harry, you see the size of that bird?"
Must have been terrifying.
I'm trying to be the calm, cool, collective one. So I'm just like, "Yeah, I know, Troy. I saw it. I knew it was going to bother us, even though I was kind of relieved it was gone."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went home. I told my mother about it, and she just thought naturally, because I was 14, that any bird would look humongous. My friend Troy, he didn't really bring it up because he was a Jehovah's Witness, so that would be considered evil if he went home and told his grandmother about it. So we forgot about it over the years. We totally forgot about it. I ended up moving from the old neighborhood. He ended up moving. It was now 2007. Now, I was a skeptic, and my friends were telling me that they snuck up to this old tuberculosis hospital in Hanson that was haunted. And they're like, Harry, you know, you got a car, man. Look, come on, give us a ride. We'll go back up there. It's really haunted. And I'm thinking, all right. I figured, why not? I'll check it out. I've never seen a ghost before.
Right.
What's the worst that could happen? So we drove up to, I think it was Pierce Street, where we parked the car in Hanson.
Mm-hmm.
We had to walk down the a trail because there was no trespassing in this place. Mm-hmm. The cops would arrest you just to set an example. They didn't want you going in there. So we snuck up, and man, this place was really creepy. It was abandoned. We were walking around, and you could hear what sounded like children laughing and crying at the same time. And kids did pass away in there.
Right, of course, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have some pictures of it. There's a Snoopy that they made out of plaster that's in the basement, on the basement wall.
Oh, wow.
Looks like a Snoopy. So we were walking around endlessly, and I was thinking, well, nothing really happening. Let's just get out of here, guys. My friend Brian, he was like, yeah, Harry, I'm with you. Now my friend Seneca, he was saying, no, something's telling me walk around one more time. So I'm thinking, okay. So we walked around. We get to the main entrance. And he looks over and he goes, what the F is that? And I looked and I'm thinking, what is that? And it was this white silhouette of a figure.
Oh my God.
Floating towards the main entrance. So, of course, they were like, oh my God, it's a ghost. They ran. I'm excited because I've never seen a ghost. So I'm like, guys, why are we running? And I'm just like, screw it, I'll run too, I guess. So I ran with them. I don't even think we were scared because we got back to the car and we were debriefing about the situation. And for the longest time, that was the go-to place to go to on a Friday night when we were bored, when we were 25 years old. And a lot of times we snuck in there. And I know one time we opened up the door to one of the rooms and the chair kind of slid across really fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
so
scary.
Here it is now, beginning of 2009, and I was telling my friend Portia about this ghostly figure I saw. And she was saying, yeah, Harry, well, that's because you live in the Bridgewater Triangle. Now, she was under the impression that Hanson was inside the Triangle, which, you know, it's controversial. Maybe it is. A lot of people think it's not. And I said to her, what is the Bridgewater Triangle? And she goes, Jesus, Harry, you lived here all your life. You never heard of it. I just moved to the state and already I know what the Bridgewater Triangle is. So I'm saying, oh, well, Portia, what is it? And she goes, Harry, it's a region where Native Americans curse the land. And I'm like, oh, okay, Portia, sure. You don't have to see ghost sightings just because a land is cursed. That has nothing to do with ghost sightings. And she goes, yeah, Harry, out here it does. This Triangle region is real. People have seen Bigfoots. And now I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, okay, Portia, what next? Little green men? And she goes, no, Harry, it's true. People have seen UFOs out here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing now. And she goes, no, Harry, it's true. Right here in Brockton, people have seen big giant birds that could be Thunderbirds.
And then the light bulb went off.
Yeah. The second she said that light bulb went off. And I said, what did you just say? Big giant birds? And I said, oh my God, I saw one of those when I was younger. And she said, I told you, Harry. So she hopped on her desktop. She started, you know, looking into the area. When I went home, I started researching in the area. I always had an interest in the Triangle, but we never really were boots to the ground in the Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
I know, actually, one time we were trying to look for the Hockomock Swamp when we were in our early 30s. Couldn't find it. We were under the impression it was just, you know, a couple nature, like, trails in the woods in West Bridgewater, a nature walk. We actually stopped into the West Bridgewater PD once and said, hey, where's the Hockomock? And he goes, you're in it, guys. And we were saying, what are you talking about? And he goes, this was all the Hock and Walk. We built on the land. And I said, oh, there isn't like nature walks or trails. Now there is.
Right.
Except he didn't really want out of towners, you know, that going in there, he was probably worried about us getting lost. So when we asked if there's any like trails to walk, he said, nope, sorry. So I was like, oh, well, that's a bummer. So we didn't really study the tribe. We didn't really know much about it. I know my friend Valerie took me inside the Hock and Walk. She actually one time said, no, Harry, there is an area in the Hock and Walk. I'll take you to it. We went into the Hock and Walk, and we didn't really see anything, but on the way out, we heard drumming.
Okay.
I'm like, Valerie, I was like, did you hear that's coming from the trail? And I started to walk back in, and she goes, no, Harry, come on, let's just go. She was scared.
We had an experience with phantom drumming, too, and we ran.
Yeah.
Because we're scaredy cats.
We were in the Freetown Forest.
The Freetown State Forest.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Where were you when you heard the drumming? Were you over, like, near the Skim Milk Bridge area, like that part?
No, it was in the West Bridgewater part, the trail that goes from Maple Street into Raynham.
Okay, I know where you are. Okay.
So it was that part. And we used to just go through into cemeteries too.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing major. It wasn't until COVID. We were actually just up one night and bored, and we said, you know what, let's just go on Amazon and order a bunch of ghost hunting equipment, and we'll do a YouTube channel. And that's really when we started.
Yeah. You have a lot of great videos on your YouTube channel, which I am going to link in the show notes. And I do have some questions for you about some of your investigations. But since you said you bought a bunch of equipment, there's one piece of equipment that you have that I wanted to ask you about. And it's in several of your videos. And it's the thing with the green dots. What exactly is that? Okay. Yeah. What is that? And what exactly does that do? Because I hadn't seen that. Like, I don't think I've seen that in, like, Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures.
I think you used it on the Ironworks.
Yeah, you used it at Stanley Ironworks. I think you also had it at the Oliver Estate.
Yeah, we've used it many times. It looks like a pen. It's kind of like a laser pointer, except you know, you could produce those patterns. It's basically so if an apparition, you know, is in front of it or walks in front of it, it will take the shape of the figure.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. I was curious about that because I don't know if I've seen it.
Yeah, we've never seen it.
Maybe I have, but it didn't stand out to me. I thought that was really cool. What other equipment do you have? I know I've seen it in your videos, but if you want to tell everybody who's listening about some of the other equipment you have.
A lot of the equipment that we have is equipment that was not designed for paranormal investigations. And reality, that's the best equipment to use. I'm talking like EMF meters, night vision cameras, digital recorders, thermal cameras. A thermal camera was designed for HVAC guys.
Yeah.
You know, to go around in the summer to record hot spots that will let us know if the customer needs a larger AC unit that pushes out more BTUs.
Yep.
That's a lot of our go-to equipment. Though that type of equipment was adapted into the field of paranormal investigations. Now you have all your other stuff that are props that's focused on ghost hunting, like REM pods, laser scopes, laser grids, even the spirit box, you know, that might not be 100% accurate because it does sweep for radio stations, although...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Depending on the right one, yeah, you can get some accurate responses. I don't really solely rely on just those props, even though, you know, they can work depending on the right place, right circumstance, right time. But I always have my real deal paranormal investigation tools out to back them up.
Do you have a favorite tool?
We also have EM pumps. I built an EM pump. You can't really buy one.
Okay. Wow. That's
Do you have impressive. A favorite tool that you like to use?
The EMF meter. You can never go wrong with the EMF meter. I don't recommend the K2 meter. It is inaccurate. For example, I seen a couple YouTubers, they're in a basement. They're using the K2 meter. It's going off. They're like, oh my God, this basement is haunted. Well, no. You have the electrical wires right up above. Your refrigerator, the compressor runs on 15 amps, but it pulls more during startup. So it's going to it's going to pull more during startup when it comes out of defrost mode through the circuit. So now you just created an EMF field in the electrical lines, which is going to set the K2 meter off.
Okay, so you try to debunk everything first.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, but that's good. Yeah. I feel like that's the right way to go about it. I'm trying to think. I know I had a bunch of other questions for you, but pause. Okay, so I wanted to just say real quick. So I grew up in Easton, so I was the next town over. So I'm very familiar. We were always in that area of Brockton because that's where we went. That's where all the stores were. There was a Shaw's there or Stop and Shop. Do you remember Dorothy Lou's Bakery that used to be over there? Oh my God, it was so good. But anyway, so the area that you're talking about, Belmont Street, and you're in the woods up behind the high school and like where the registry is.
Yes.
Where did the bird come from? Do you think it flew over the city or do you think it lived in the woods back there? Like, imagine seeing that, like, as you're driving down Belmont Street, you know, you're in line at McDonald's and like that thing flies above you. Like,
you know, I've had that question for years. I've even posted on Facebook if anyone's ever seen it. You know, late July of 1996, no one else had seen it, where it was coming, where it was going. I was the only one.
That's wild.
I know there's only two other people that have seen that type of bird that size. A lot of other people are describing turkey vultures.
Yeah, okay. Are you talking about the police officer from Mansfield that saw one? Because I know I had read a story about, I think he was like, heading home one night off of his like 3 to 11 or something, and he had seen a Thunderbird in Mansfield, or maybe it was like the Easton Line.
He did, yes, right around there. The issue too is there is turkey vultures over at Wheaton's Farm because we seen one night.
Okay.
And we were driving, and actually we had to stop short on Bay Road because we saw this winged creature in the road, and my friend Paul was like, "Quick, Harry, grab your camera. There's your Thunderbird."
Right,
and
right.
I was like, "No, Paul, that's not it. The one I saw
was
way bigger."
A for effort, though.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I'm trying to think of other questions I had to ask you, but one of the things that I wanted to talk about, which is kind of off topic, you had done a video on your YouTube about the Mandela Effect. And
yes.
That's probably one of my favorite videos of all time, because the whole time I was like, oh my God.
We have to double check that.
Yeah, like those were wild. Like I've seen the one about Shazam with Sinbad. I think we've all heard about that at this point. The one that got me was the C-3PO not being gold.
Yeah.
Right.
I haven't gone back and rewatched the movie, which we actually should do that this weekend because we have nothing to do, but he did not have a silver leg.
Yeah.
I would have bet my next paycheck
that he didn't.
I was doing a show on the Mandela Effect on another podcast, and I told my friend, I have a C-3PO that's all gold. And he goes, bring it on the show. I was like, absolutely. I knew exactly where that toy was. I went to look for it. It was gone.
It's weird how that stuff happens. Weird stuff happens inside the triangle all the time. The other one that got me was the Mr. T, who didn't say, "I pity the fool."
Yeah.
I say that all the time to my kids. That's one of my favorite phrases. I pity the fool. And how did he not say that? That was wild.
I guess he never said that in the AIDS team. Never once.
That's wild. I swear to God, I remember watching it, and I remember seeing it. And a few other videos that you had that I just wanted to bring up. One was about the Dybbuk box. You had done one where somebody had sent you, you had done a video where somebody sent you one. And then you basically debunked all of them. The one that Zach Bagans currently has, though, that's a real one, right? That one had, like, a real curse?
None of them were real, unfortunately.
Like, none?
Kevin Mannon made the whole thing up.
Oh, he did?
He admitted it, too, in a 2015 post, actually.
Okay,
he actually said that he would tattoo your name on his forehead.
Yeah, that's true. That's so funny.
So you didn't have any apprehension when you were opening your box?
No. None.
Like, you knew?
As a matter of fact, that wine cabinet was made in the 1950s, not even anywhere near when the Holocaust was.
Right, okay.
Did you think that was real human ashes, though?
You know, I don't know. It was, that was pretty creepy.
I hope not. Okay, that's wild.
And then we liked the video you shot with the Oliver House. We've been there.
Yeah, because we were very close.
And we were there when the town first bought it years ago, I think pre-COVID.
It was pre-COVID.
And we got a good tour, and it can be a creepy place, especially that well in the kitchen.
There was some sort of a well in the kitchen. They had boards over it. It was down in the floor, and I forget what was down there. Is that where they got their water from?
I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about because the Josiah Keefe House in Easton has the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, how was that doing an investigation at that house?
Which one?
Oliver Estate.
Oliver Estate.
We've done a couple investigations there. I know that one time we did hear the latch on the servant's door lift up.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Because I've been in there twice, and we didn't get anything. I know the first time I had done it with Chris, and then I went back and I did it with a friend, and they gave us, I don't even know if it was like a K2 meter. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't very active when we were in there, but people swear it's very haunted. And I know you guys picked up some stuff when you were there, so that's pretty scary. But I think the town sold it, so I think...
Unfortunately, yeah.
I think that, that's going to be off limits now, which is a bummer, because I feel like that was a big moneymaker for the town, but oh well.
I did get to take home, though, one of our...
Yes, I saw the Isabella. Yeah. We saw that video. That doll is terrifying.
Yes.
Do you have it in your house? Like
I do, yes.
Have the eyes moved?
No,
okay,
unfortunately.
Good. I would burn it, and I would burn the house along with it if that ever happened. That would horrify me. So what are some of your favorite spots to investigate within the Bridgewater Triangle? Which I know we said it was like the triangle, but I feel like it does expand a little bit outside of the triangle.
Did you ever go back to the Hanson?
Oh, yeah, he said he went a bunch of times.
No, to investigate?
They tore it down in 2017.
Oh, they did. I didn't even know that was there. Because like you, I didn't know about the Bridgewater Triangle until I was older. But yeah, what are some of your favorite places inside the triangle?
Probably one of my inside the triangle, probably Annawan Rock would be one of my favorites.
Okay.
Only because we got some activity that night. I know when I was behind the rock, I heard heavy footsteps.
Okay.
And I was with another investigator, Paul, and his girlfriend, Rochelle. And Rochelle said that she heard footsteps as well. And we all smelled this weird musky smell, which a lot of people report foot sighting. So me and Paul had an idea. We were going to have Rochelle sit on the bench with the digital recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured maybe these spirits would feel more comfortable talking to her. So we gave her, you know, her space. We went back, and I said, Rochelle, anything, you know, out of the ordinary happen? And she said, nope. So I'm thinking, oh, that's a bummer. So the rest of the night, she was acting very strange. She's out of it. When I went back home and reviewed the audio footage, you hear a voice saying, chose me. And then you hear Rochelle saying, hi, honey. So she acknowledged something was there, but she told us nothing out of the ordinary happened. And like I said, she was acting strange the rest of the night. Well, interesting thing is Rochelle vanished off the face of this planet right after. She got up in the middle of the night out of Paul's house. It was reported that she was outside wandering around. No one saw her ever again.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
She was never in any of my videos after that. Yes, she was in one, but that was filmed prior.
Oh my god. That's wild. I have goosebumps right now. Wow. Wow. I don't even know what to say. That just threw me
off. The story gets a little bit more creepier. We actually went to her house in Stoughton, and all her furniture was out on the front lawn. She just abruptly moved.
Oh my god. Where the heck did she go? What happened to her?
No one knows. Yeah. It was very strange.
That is wild. That is an insane story.
And I said, Paul, did she get evicted? What happened? And he goes, not that I know. She never said anything.
Wow. That is a crazy story.
And I'm talking about all her furniture. She had nightstands, tables, couches, just out on the front lawn.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. I have goosebumps. That is a crazy story.
I wonder if she just got so scared.
Yeah.
And left.
Yes. She saw something for sure. Have you seen anything besides the Thunderbird? Have you seen a Bigfoot? Have you seen what? Have you seen a Pukwudgie? Pukwudgies are my favorite. I don't know why I have this weird obsession with Pukwudgies. I don't really want to see one, but I know they're out there. Have you seen anything?
I've never seen those, no.
Okay.
What about the redhead hitchhiker?
Oh, the hitchhiker?
Yeah.
Okay, the redheaded hitchhiker. We did do a video on that.
Yeah.
I was a huge skeptic on that story. I know that a lot of people have claimed that, you know, they hear on the radio an evil laugh as he disappears. We went down Route 44 one night, and we had one of those spirit boxes. And at the time, I was driving a 2006 Mercury Grand Marquis.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone out there knows that car, knows that that seatbelt alarm will keep chiming every 5 minutes until you buckle up. And in the video, you can hear the seatbelt alarm going off.
Yep.
And Seneca, he's setting up the spirit box in the back seat. He hands it to me. And a voice comes out that says, "You're out of your seatbelt." Now, no one would know that except me and the passengers in my car. We also picked up an evil laugh as well. Now, I know that people's older car radios can pick up that kind of frequency.
Yeah.
Our spirit box is based on that same frequency. So we heard it as well. So I wasn't really that much of a skeptic after that night. I did do some research on it, and I found out that he used to be a patient at the old Taunton State Hospital.
Oh, really?
Oh.
He lived in Swansea. He used to hitchhike from Swansea to Taunton.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
This might be a little bit of a spoiler alert. When he went into the hospital to be treated, no one saw him ever again, so they thought, oh, he must have died. You know, the locals were used to seeing him hitchhiking.
Mm-hmm.
When he came out of the hospital, he started hitchhiking again. That's when people thought, oh my God, it's his ghost. That's when stories flew everywhere.
Okay.
There was a report of a couple that saw him coming out of the woods and he was laughing hysterical. Yes, they probably did. He was homeless, living in the woods. And he did have some psychological problems.
Right.
It wasn't anything ghostly. Not saying that there might not be something residual on Route 44, but he's not getting into people's cars. People are not picking him up. He's not disappearing.
That's very interesting. So you've really done your research.
Yeah.
I had no idea about that. That's very interesting. We have family in Rehoboth, so we drive to Rehoboth occasionally. And I always look out for the redheaded hitchhiker. But whenever he supposedly comes out between, 11 p.m. and, 3 a.m., I'm never out at that time, ever, because I'm in bed by then, so if we're in Rehoboth, it's much earlier in the day, so.
I mean, it's possible you might see something residual, yes.
Yeah.
But there is some kernel truth behind some of the stories, yes.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and Annawan Rock is right up on 44 in Rehoboth, too, so. And a lot of us know what went on at that area with the King Philip's War, and that's where Annawan had surrendered. So there's a lot of history in that area. And this whole area in general, there's just been so much violence and death and stuff. But so you haven't seen anything other than the Thunderbird?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. So what's your all-time in the history of investigations? What's been your very favorite place to investigate? Anywhere, not just in the Triangle. Anywhere, ever.
Probably it was definitely that place in Hanson, unfortunately.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
I didn't even know that was there. I mean, I grew up in the area too. I had no idea that was there.
We never had the equipment back then. Like I said, we started in 2020, and unfortunately it shut down in 2017, so we never really got the chance to go in there with any of the equipment.
Okay. That's a bummer. That's a huge bummer. So what do you have coming up? Do you have anything exciting planned this year?
We plan on doing a video on Massachusetts state cryptids.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
we're definitely going to cover the Bigfoot, the Thunderbird, the Pukwudgies, and the Dover Demon.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. He was only seen one night, from what I understand. Oh, was it two nights? Okay.
Yes.
But nobody's seen him since. I think that was back in the 70s.
Yes.
That's interesting. So are you guys going to go up to Dover and do a little hunting for your video?
We definitely will probably bring the Paramic, the thermal camera up there with us.
Okay, okay. I'm excited for that. When are you guys going to start working on that? Soon?
As soon as it starts to warm up.
Oh, I hope that's soon. Oh, my God. We're already done with the winter. So I think that was all the questions I had. Do you have anything that you wanted to add? Anything exciting coming up?
Most of the videos that you see us posting on YouTube are old. We haven't really got back out there, boots to the ground, because it has been cold.
Yeah.
But we are, you know, planning on, you know, new adventures coming up.
I love that. We met you on a tour of Bridgewater, Massachusetts. It was a ghost tour. And
yes.
Chris and I have done that tour twice, actually. And obviously Bridgewater is in the heart of the Bridgewater Triangle. And it's a great tour. And
Yep.
Now, you mentioned you were there in 2022.
Yeah, we went in 2022, and then we went again this past fall, so 2024.
I was there in 2022 as well.
I don't remember you. I feel like it was a different... Okay, so the guy that was there in 2022 said that they investigated a house off of Elm Street that was very haunted, but I don't think that was you, because I think it was a different guy.
No, I wasn't a speaker. It was...
Hanging out on the tour?
Yeah,
okay. Gotcha.
I know who you're talking about. It was small town ghost stories or something.
Yeah, something like that.
The house on North Street in Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that was interesting. That's a good tour. There's a lot of history in Bridgewater.
And then they had the people that did the podcast at very end.
I don't remember the funeral home. Yeah, at the funeral home. I don't remember.
I don't think we stayed that long.
Oh, yeah, we might have left. We might have taken our cookies and taken off.
Yeah, this year I was invited to be the speaker.
Yes.
And then Lori and Lisa actually invited us to come down and investigate the VFW club that they're a part of.
Oh, that's interesting.
VFW club
used that
to be the old
one by the high school? By the high school?
It's in Pratt Town, Bridgewater.
Okay.
Orange Street.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So it used to be an old schoolhouse in the 1800s, and there was reports of the paintbrushes being hidden, the TV coming on by itself. Laurie actually seen a lunch lady sweeping in the kitchen. She disappeared. And there was reports of children's laughter throughout the old school. While we were there, we definitely picked up on evidence that children still haunt that location. We heard a child humming. We got recorded.
Wow.
And we recorded the strange vibration. It sounded like a spring from an old toy back then. Maybe a jack-in-the-box or a buzzsaw toy.
Oh, wow.
There, what's interesting is there's a cemetery right behind the VFW club.
Okay.
So we decided we would check it out, and believe it or not, we found the plots of two children who did pass away when that school was in session.
Oh, wow.
So most likely it could be them that still haunt that club.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Because back then, you know, they didn't have medication for the common cold.
Right. Fever. Right, I know.
Yeah.
Different times. Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Harry. We really appreciate it. You are welcome to come back anytime. If you have any updates, send me a message. You know where to find me. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Huge thank you again to Harry for taking the time to speak with us today. That was a really fun conversation we had. I learned a bunch of new stuff. I hope you guys found it to be interesting as well. Next week, come back. We have something groovy planned for you. That was a hint. And if you have any paranormal experiences of your own, if you want to send them in to us at thegenxcouplepodcast.com, feel free. We'll compile them all together and we'll read them in an episode or any other stories, whatever. You can just email them to us and we'll eventually read them on the podcast.
And until next week, see you later, alligator.
in a wild crocodile.